If you're gonna leave, just go. Stop calling me on the phone.
Hey, hey, and welcome to episode number 3 of Wandering Your Wild podcast. My name is Jenny, and I am your host. Okay, today we are talking about track 3 from my album, The Wild Is Me, and track 3 is a song called Lame Excuses. So let's hit up the story behind the song. I wrote this song in a moment in time when a friend was kind of in a dating situationship, and she felt like the guy was being very on again, off again, not clear, and kind of pulling her emotions around. But for the specific lyrics of the song, I really drew on my own past dating experiences. Experiences where I was sort of all in on the relationship. Not sort of all in. I was all in on the relationship and felt like I was waiting for the other person to decide if they were all in. And also kind of putting up with things like people telling me there was things that were wrong with me, which is why they weren't in love with me, instead of them just saying, I'm not in love with you, and leaving, they were trying to change me to get the relationship to work. And so having those experiences, or having people who were just like, you're amazing, but I'm just not sure, and I don't know how if I want to go forward, but I don't want to like end the relationship. And so all of those past experiences from different relationships inspired the sort of ire and spark and fire that you hear in this song. So let's listen.
If you're gonna leave, just go. Stop calling me on the phone. Pondering ways I could make you love me. If it's not there, you should just go. 'Cause I don't need your indecision. I don't need your lame excuses. I don't need your hot and cold. Oh, I don't need our toxic phone calls. Say you might love me, but you don't know. So we'll go. It's not you, it's me. I've been waiting on you to make up your mind. Well, I finally made up mine. You're not the guy for me, so I'll just leave. 'Cause I don't need your indecision. I don't need your lame excuses. I don't need your hot and cold. Oh, I don't need a toxic phone call. Say you might love me, but you don't know. So just go. And I've been blaming you for my misery. But I'm the one who stays. Won't play these games with you anymore. I'll tie back my hair and walk away. 'Cause I don't need my indecision. I don't need my lame excuses. I don't need my hot and cold. Oh, I don't need our toxic phone calls. Say you might love me, but you don't know. So just go. 'Cause I don't need our indecision. I don't need your lame excuses. I don't need your hot and cold. Oh, I don't need your toxic phone calls. Say you might love me, but you don't know. So I'll go.
All right. There's a little bit, all of the song of Lame Excuses. And I want to dive in a little bit more to the experiences in my life that helped me go from being the person who put up with and waited for the things that I wanted versus being the person to call the shots and speak out what I needed and what I wanted with confidence instead of doing it with fear and trembling. In pretty much all of my relationships in the past, I was able to communicate my needs and my desires, but it took me so much time to build up the courage to say those things. And even then, I would literally just start crying as soon as I needed to say something that was important to me or that felt like a risk to the relationship. So I want to share with you a couple of moments in my life that were very shifting for me in this area. My first memory of this shifting in a significant way is when I was having lunch with my older sister, and I was talking to her about potentially getting into a relationship again and just feeling really scared that if I got into a relationship again, you know, what if I was more in it than the other person, and what if I got hurt again? What if this happened again? And she said something to me that just rocked my world at the time. She's like, well, if you get into a relationship and you don't like the way it's going, you can just get out of it. You can end it and you can leave and move on. And it sounds so basic, right? Like, you have a choice in the matter. You can decide that you want something different. But looking back, I can see that I was stuck in sort of this philosophy around relationships, that relationships were hard and that you had to work at them, and that suffering in relationships was kind of normal. So when my sister said that, it was like this light coming on and this release of my agency. Like, wow, I have agency about my decisions and I don't have to put up with things that I don't like. And I am right about the things I deserve from a person and from a relationship. And it is my choice to either accept what they're offering or say, no, that is not good enough. I don't accept that. And I want something different and I want something better. So if you don't have a big sister like mine that is able to tell you, hey, just make a different choice, let me be the one to tell you that, hey, you can make a different choice. You do deserve the things that you need and the things that you want from a relationship. And there is nothing wrong with the needs that you have. Don't let anybody tell you that you are too needy. No. Not true. You're a human being and you're not a machine. So you have needs and you deserve to have those needs honored. And you deserve to communicate about them imperfectly. You get to be a messy human. You do not have to put yourself into some pretty mold to be worthy of someone's love and to be worthy of someone's care and to be worthy of being chosen by someone and fully extravagantly loved. And it doesn't even have to be about extravagance, right? I think I'm more talking about you can be your full, complex, human, messy self, and the other person doesn't blink an eye because they just love you and they're not going anywhere because they're all in. I used to watch my friends with their spouses, and I would be so amazed that they could share their feelings with their spouses so honestly that they weren't afraid to not pick a fight, but just like bring up issues, and they would just talk about it with their spouses. And I used to be like, I can't believe you feel safe in your relationship to do that. But now that I have so much more safety in my own body and confidence in my own ability to hold myself and have my own back, I'm like, oh yeah, that's just healthy relationships. That's how it's supposed to be. And now I'm able to know that that is exactly what I want and kind of really spot from a mile away what I don't want. I recently had this experience with a guy in my neighborhood. We had passed each other a few times out walking. I walk my dog probably 2 or 3 times a day. And I had said hi to him a few times, but he didn't have much response, which is fine. I figure some people are introverts, whatever. But then one day he caught up to me on the trail right near our neighborhood, And he chatted me up a little bit. We talked for a while. We walked together for a little bit. And then he asked for my number. And I was like, sweet, this is awesome. Someone's asking for my number. I've just been working with one of my coaches on my dating life and my blocks around dating. So it was really fun and exciting that he asked for my number. So, you know, I kind of assumed you're asking for my number, you're taking initiative, you're probably gonna set up a time to hang out. He didn't do that. He started more texting me, trying to get to know me, which is a neutral thing, right? That's a way to get to know someone. But for me, I hate trying to text someone to get to know them. I like hate getting stuck in the messaging app on dating apps. It's just, it's the bane of my existence. And I started to notice some of my old patterns coming up, like, maybe you should just stick with this so you have a chance. Maybe you should not really express your needs because what if that like closes the door to have a relationship? And it took me a couple days, but I finally was like, I would literally rather not have a relationship than feel like I'm dying inside by trying to smash myself into a text message. And so it was really fun because I just texted him and I said to him, hey, I literally hate so much trying to get to know people on text messaging. And I've ghosted so many people on dating apps because I just get overwhelmed with trying to squeeze myself into a text message. And I said to him, is there any way you would just want to set up a time to hang out or even just video chat rather than text message? And it was very interesting because his response was positive, but then he made no moves at all to actually set up a time for us to get to know each other, even a really in any low stakes way. And I went back and forth about it for a while. Like, should I keep giving him another chance? Should I, you know? And so I did a couple times let him know when my dog and I would be out walking, and we walked once more. And I invited him to breakfast after one of the times that we walked, and he kind of made his excuses and said he couldn't go. And then the communication pretty much just fell off. I think I made one more attempt to see if he would, you know, take another walk with me and my dog. And again, he made his excuses. So I let it go. And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to try to figure out what's going on or why he asked for my number in the first place or all the things that I used to do. I'm not going to torment myself and mull it over. I just thought, I'm not spending energy on it. Like, I told him how to use my number. He didn't want to use it that way. And so, you know, that's fine. That's his style. That's not my style. I don't want it. And it was really cool to watch myself for the first time sort of completely detach from the anxious way that I had engaged relationships in the past. And felt so safe and calm and steady with myself and so confident in my own, in the validity of my own desires and my own needs that I was able to say, I don't have to fold myself into this origami bird that I think is acceptable for this person. I can just say, nope, done. It's not what I want. And move on. And it was really fun to feel the sense of like power and centeredness that I got from simply honoring my own needs and my own desires in a romantic potentiality for the first time. I was like, hey, I'm calling the shots with confidence. Ugh, felt so good. All right, let's go over a few how-tos that are going to help you get to this place of calm, confidence, believing that your needs and desires are valid, and knowing that you can communicate them clearly and stand behind your communication. I think the most helpful thing that I discovered about myself is that my nervous system activation type is fawning. What do I mean by nervous system activation type? So your nervous system is the part of your body that scans for threats. And everybody potentially has a different nervous system response to a threat. There's four. They might be adding a fifth. They, meaning the psychology people. So the four nervous system responses to a threat are fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. So fight is what it sounds like. You pick a fight when there's a threat. Flee is you run away from a threat. Freeze is when you kind of dissociate and you feel stuck, like you can't do anything, you can't make a decision, you're just frozen. And then fawning is what we think of as people pleasing. It's doing everything you can to accommodate the threat so that it doesn't harm you. And that has been my MO for most of my life. Fawning, making sure I can accommodate what other people want so that I can be loved and safe. And that has really screwed me over in my romantic relationships, especially. It's made it really hard for me to find people who are healthy because I have not been healthy in that area. But I have finally cracked the code on figuring out when I'm fawning and getting myself out of it. I will tell you the secret right now. It's not magic. It's just neuroscience. But here's what I realized. I can tell that I am fawning because, first of all, I'm anxious. But second of all, there's this sense of I can't be okay until I know what the other person thinks of me. And that is a dead giveaway to me that I am in a stressed out nervous system that thinks that there is a threat happening in a relationship or a situationship or a potential something. So when I recognize that that is happening, I use a few different tools to get myself back to a place where I feel calm and clear-headed and can then decide from a place of peace how I want to proceed. One of the tools I use is the one I talked about in episode 2, where you use your peripheral vision, let your peripheral vision come into awareness. So that's the one where you look straight ahead at a spot on the wall and keep your eyes right there. And then let your peripheral vision start to become more aware of your peripheral vision. And then become aware of the space behind you and above you and around you. You can even imagine the space outside wherever you are. And this just tends to take your body into a calmer state. And I'm already like getting floaty and relaxed. And it kind of can just remind you, hey, we're here. We're safe. The threat that we think is happening is not happening. We have a place of peace to go from. Another thing you can do is do some long, slow breathing. So if you take a deep breath in and then breathe out for twice as long, this has a regulating effect on your nervous system. My other favorite technique for kind of down-regulating that nervous system is called EFT, or tapping. It's I think EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and you're basically tapping on specific pressure points that help your body to become calm and regulated. This particular technique they give to veterans who have PTSD, and it's very effective for when the post-traumatic stress is triggered. The version of tapping that I use is called faster EFT. So there's many, many pressure points on the body you can tap, but I think I have one that does 1, 2, 3, 4, just 5 spots that you tap. So you're going to tap in just a nice kind of gentle rhythm on the top of your head for a few times, 4, 6 times. And then you're going to tap in between your eyes, kind of right between your eyebrows, where you would have a unibrow if you had one. You're going to tap 4 to 6 times there, and then you're going to move to the side of your eye, that bone right at the corner of your eye, and you're going to tap 4 to 6 times there, and then follow that bone right under your eye, tap 4 to 6 times there, And then you're going to move down to your chest, your sternum, and you're going to thump there 4 to 6 times. And then you're going to grab your wrist and take one of those long, deep breaths in and breathe out for twice as long. And you can do as many rounds of that tapping as you need until you feel solidly back in your body and calmed down. And the reason why I go to these techniques before I'm trying to think my way out of anything, before I'm trying to make decisions, is because most often that fawning, for me, fawning and anxiety, which is the freeze response for me as well, or any other nervous system activation that you have, it's not a cognitive thing. It's not your thoughts that need to be changed. It's your body having a physical response. So you need to regulate the body first, and then you can proceed to let your logic and your brain kind of come back on board so that you are being able to think a little more calmly and a little more rationally. And I am going to give you an exercise to think through for the rational part of things. But I also want to just say before that, there are a lot of other really awesome nervous system regulation techniques that exist. And I actually did a couple of free workshops over Zoom, so video workshops, kind of teaching these techniques. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to link to one of them. It's called Holiday Escape in my bio. Not in my bio. That's an Instagram thing. What am I saying? I'm podcasting right now. I'm going to link to it in the show notes. And you can access that and learn some more nervous system regulation techniques. Okay, so now for the more rational exercise that I want to give you. If you're a person like me who has trouble communicating your needs and your desires and feeling safe doing that, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make a list of the different avenues in your life where you need to communicate about needs, desires, expectations. So maybe you have work, maybe you have in your family, maybe you have your extended family, maybe you have romantic life, maybe you have friendships, clients, etc. Whatever that list is, go ahead and make that list. And then I want you to reorder that list so that the places where it feels easiest to communicate and take some risks in communicating, so that place is at the top, and the one that feels the hardest is on the bottom. And now you're going to give yourself full permission to not work on at least the bottom half of the list at all. Not yet. You're going to start with the easiest one first. For me, it was at my job. It still felt like a risk, but it was much easier for me to practice not fawning a little bit. Practice not just saying, okay, fine, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And instead, back up and say, well, I'm happy to do that if you want me to, but what do you want me to take off my plate so that I can accomplish that? So start somewhere that feels safe enough for you to take a little bit of a risk in communicating. And then when that no longer feels uncomfortable, then you can go on to the next one. This is how you kind of build trust with your nervous system and expand its capacity for discomfort, for what it used to consider a threat to now just be, oh, it's a little uncomfortable, but we're all good. So you're going to start with the easier ones and you're going to move up to the harder ones, but take it at a nice, relaxed pace. Let your nervous system adjust and see that you're operating in a way that it can trust and that it can be on board with. All right, I think that brings us to a pretty good place to wrap up for today. Look, I know this stuff is so, so scary, and I can't tell you how many hours I spent either in therapy or in coaching, talking about these things, crying about these things, working on my internal world and regulating my nervous system. So I get how scary it is and how difficult it is. So I'm here for you if you want a coach to be there to walk through this with you. It is the realest, toughest stuff. So I do not underestimate that at all. And I am here if you need more support. As always, you can find my website at the link in the show notes, not in my bio, because we're not on Instagram. And you can also follow me on Instagram and find the link in my bio. My Instagram handle is at the.jenny.baird. I'm on there all the time. You can come find me. And I think that's it. I think I'm out of things to say. I will talk to you next week. Let me know how these nervous system techniques work for you. Let me know if you watch the workshop and what that does for you. And I will see you later.
'Cause I don't need your indecision. I don't need your lame excuses. I don't need your hot and cold. Oh, I don't need our toxic phone calls. Say you might love me, but you don't know. So we'll go.